You are listening to a sermon by Al McKay, recorded on Sunday, December 17, 2017, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, it's very good to be here, I want to bring greetings from Killarney Park, where Maya and I attend and have attended since about 1985, and Pastor David Chow wanted me to say hi to you, and we're just really thankful that Maya and I both get a chance to be here. We've heard lots, and it's been all good, let me tell you. And it's really interesting when you can't find the first page. Okay. I have too many pieces of paper. So if I was doing something downtown, a memorial, or if I was doing a Blue Christmas, which I've just this week have done a number of those, and I still have two to do on Monday. Many times I would begin by saying that I am thankful for the Creator who originally, in some ways, gave this land to the Tsleil-Waututh, the Musqueam, and the Coast Salish to be caretakers of this land. And that over the years, other people have taken it over and claimed it as their own, when we all know that this is still the Creator's land. So I know I just know that I've said that in other places, and there's been lots of different reactions to it. And I'll let you sit with your own reaction at this point, because that's actually just off to the side of what we're going to talk about. If you can't hear me at some point, just give me a little nod. I will try to be a little louder. I want to thank Evan for the kind invitation, this process started a long time ago, and we finally were able to come to a date, which I'm very thankful for. I'm also thankful for Veronica for the little email dialogue that we had, and also Paul, who's kept me sort of informed of all the different things that are happening. And I just need to tell you that this message has had at least six different titles. That's okay, because you're going to title it something afterwards anyways for yourself. If I had given it the title after this morning, as I continued to work and do some other things on it, I may have called it a dog's breakfast, but I'm very hopeful that it might be a little more than that. Our really good friends and mentors, Sven and Laura, have been a part of our lives since 1974 BK. Now, that was BK for us, so before kids. They already had two, I think, at that time. And we were invited over to their place for a great soup. And we discovered that Laura made this fabulous leek soup. And Maya wanted to be part of the conversation. And it was good. It was a great conversation. In the midst of the conversation about the soup, she says, "You know, I've never had a leek in my life." And you did exactly what we did all around the table. I'm not trying to embarrass her at all. But that was the beginning. I mean, there's other stories I could tell you, and if you want those ones, we can, go out back and have a smoke together. I'll tell you. What is this title? And as I say, I'll let you decide on it. I'm going to read three poems in the sort of flow of this presentation. Two poems from a poet by the name of Bud Osborne. And if you have not heard of that name, Bud Osborne was sort of the poet laureate of the downtown East Side for many, many years. He died in 2014. One of the things you need to know about Bud before you hear the poetry is that he writes about his life and about things that were very real to him. The other poet is an Irish poet by the name of Padraig O'Tama. And I got to know a little bit about Padraig O'Tama through a podcast, by a woman by the name of Krista Tippett, which is called, the podcast is called On Being, and she interviews just really interesting and different people. And I just throw it out there because if you're sitting around and, you know, there's another I Love Lucy rerun on, you might want to take a look and see about Krista Tippett, if you're into podcasts and being able to do that. So I begin this little presentation with a poem by Bud, which is called See My Face. I walk to the 24-hour corner store, East Hastings and Gore, 12:30 in the morning. The air is raw. A hooker inside the place says, "Can you buy me a cigarette?" I do. And she tries to give me some change. I say, "You asked me to buy it. To buy it for you, it's yours." "Thanks," she says, and adds, "I got attacked tonight. See my face?" I look at the wounds and blood across her cheek and nose and ear and neck. "My old man was there," she says. "And he ran off and left me. He ran off with my rent money. Now I'm homeless. Thanks for the cigarette." And she walks away. The Hebrews said you could not look on the face of God and live. But if you could, I think God's face would look a lot like hers. Take a breath and turn to the person beside you and just share whatever you feel comfortable about what you might be feeling at this point. So, and if you don't have anybody, or if it's too charged for you, just continue just trying to breathe, because I know it's a powerful poem. You have about a minute to 2 minutes, so it's not long. Okay, trying to be sort of true to my word, I'm not going to let you carry on, but if I heard a vicious rumor that there's cake afterwards, you may want to continue that discussion with that person, or you may want to have that discussion with someone else. I use this poem at the very end of my Blue Christmas. And the Blue Christmas, you might ask, you know, what is it? A Blue Christmas event or ceremony recognizes the tensions and pains we have at Christmas and acknowledges it and tries to create an experience of releasing this tension to the Creator, who walks with us in our deep sadness over the losses of friends and family, jobs, relationships, the burdens we carry of mental illness, addictions, and generational trauma. So what happens is people come, we usually do it in a like a hotel, where so it would be for the residents of that hotel, so people come. I've set a table up. The table has The creator candle in the middle, which is a little larger than everything. Sometimes I put a little small one there because I think sometimes we never see the creator. And so it's good to just remind us of it. God doesn't always come in this lovely candle. He comes in all sorts of different ways, and she comes in all different ways. So people come in, and I tell them they can light candles. And the first semi-big candle I light is for the losses from that community that year. So I have a list of people who have died. And so I'll say their names, and then as I say their names, if it's primarily an Aboriginal or First Nations hotel and group, we'll usually have one of their folk play the drum, so just a drum beat for each name. And for me, I'll ring a bell. And that's the first candle. The second candle is for the losses in our life, the loss of jobs. And I heard someone talk about dignity today. Maybe it was in the blessing, or maybe it was earlier, actually. Anyways, the loss of dignity, the loss of dreams, and again, personal relationships. So I light that candle. And again, I invite people to come and light candles for their losses. And the last one that we do is for the burdens we carry. And the burdens are the burden of mental health, the burden of addiction, the burden of intergenerational trauma, the burden of simply the humdrum of what life can be like when you feel isolated, when you feel alone. One of the interesting things that the Vancouver Foundation found out recently is in the last 5 years or so maybe that's not so recent, but anyways, in the last little while, is that they did their survey, and they said that close to the number one thing, if not the number one thing about Vancouver, if there's a problem, is the fact that people are alone. And in the downtown east side, most of the friends that I have down there live in what are called SROs, which are single room occupancy, which just simply means that it's a room that might have a sink, but most of the time is just a room for a bed. And the bathroom is out the hallway, and we used to be involved living down there for a time, not for very long, but the longest we lived downtown was for 26 days. We did that a couple of different times with a group of people who had come from different places. To come together and to live life a little bit with the residents of the downtown east side for mutual transformation. And what you discover about an SRO is that when you think that it's time for bed, a lot of people think it's time to get up. And so if you're living in one, like we did for a little bit, you have this sense of, why is that TV on at 2 in the morning and it doesn't look like anybody's home? You have all these different questions. Anyways, I digress on these sorts of things. So we'll go and do the Blue Christmas event. The last candle is, we talk about the Creator candle, and the Creator candle, I say, was already lit. And the big surprise, to be quite honest, is that the Creator has already walked with us through the deaths, through the losses. And that partly, I then end with this poem, See My Face. And I tell the folk that are there that we are kin. We are related. And partly the way we're related is in our humanity, and obviously. And another way, for some of them, they're related through family and not who are there. So that's how I use that poem. When I don't use it in a memorial or another situation, but in the Blue Christmas. And I also let them know, and we have these very interesting, very quick little discussions with people, because I go through this. I tell them that I believe that the Blue Christmas event is actually rooted in the first Christmas. And I say something like, the messiness of the first Christmas touches the messiness in our lives. And I just want you to think about this. So Mary, an unwed mother, And Joseph, a reluctant father, and Mary, a very young unwed mother, expecting their first child, no room in the inn, poor, homeless, born in a stable, along with animals. The family becomes refugees. They have to travel to Egypt to escape King Herod, who was killing the male babies under the age of 2 who were born around the city of Bethlehem. And today, from my perspective, we have wandered away from this original story with its earthiness and its messiness. We're more into tinsel. We're more, perhaps, into plastic trees rather than real trees. Beautiful crushes rather than smelly barns. And there's nothing wrong with things that are beautiful. But the empire wants to sort of tell you that that's where the real truth is. And I'm here today to just mention that perhaps the real truth is still with the smelly barns. And the Creator is there. And so, yeah, we wandered away from the story. We get told that, you know, this is the most happiest time of the year. And for the people I rub shoulders with, they would say, some of them would say, yeah, this is a great time. But many of them, and even the people who I meet in other faith communities, all have something about Christmas, which usually is not the happiest time of the year. We don't seem to get our meaning out of that super happiness. The meaning comes through the fact that the Creator is with us in our mess. So that was a blue Christmas. The other thing I do is memorials down at the downtown east side. And I want to read a poem by Padraig O'Tama. And I just want to tell you that the first, I took 5 minutes to try to look at a little bit of news early this morning. And the first story that was on Global at that point was the opioid crisis leads off the news. And it's not about people dying at that point. It's about the burnout that's happening with first responders. And I just need to tell you, from someone who watches and is part of all this down there, I would say that's a true statement. Anyways, this is called The Pedagogy of Conflict. And I don't know if I said this, but Padraig is part of a peace community in Ireland after all the troubles that were there. So he writes, "When I was a child, I learned to count to 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But these days, I've been counting lives. So I count 1 life, 1 life, 1 life, 1 life. Because each time is the first time that life has been taken. Legitimate target has 16 letters and one long, abominable space between 2 dehumanizing words." I want to tell you that when I heard that, I'm actually listening to the On Being podcast about 5-6 months ago, maybe longer, something inside me said, I gotta remember this poem. And the reason is that I have been counting lives. The first year I counted that I worked downtown, most likely did about 20 memorials. Second, third, fourth, fifth year were more like 25, maybe 27 each year. 2016 became 34. And 2017 is, I'd have to say this, over 50 times, the number of memorials. And I just need to breathe. So what a privilege it is for me, this kid from the East End, who thought when he became a Christian at 18 that he would have it all down by the time he was 50, like all these old people around me. Everything was black and white when I was 18. And I knew. I knew who was going to hell. I knew who was going to go to heaven. And now I'm 66. Is that right? Just got to check with the truth bearer back there. Anyways, and I have to tell you, I actually think God is more about color than he is about black and white. I also want to say, I think God is more mystery than he is knowable. One of the things I do with people down there is they come and say, will you pray for me? And so I usually ask them, well, what do you want to pray? Or what do you want me to pray about? And then I'll also ask them, do you want to pray? Do you want to lead us in this prayer? And one time, a gentleman, and this was in OnSite. OnSite is a detox center right above InSite. InSite is the green building on Hastings Street, the 100 block, and the main floor is where people take their illegal drugs and go in and shoot up. And they shoot up there because they don't want to, you shoot up and you have fentanyl in your drugs. A high percentage that you're going to die because you're alone. And so even in this act of shooting up, there's something of God's beauty of allowing a community to come around and to be with people. Anyways, this fellow is in OnSite, and I said, you know, I come every week. Some people like me to pray. He said, just a minute. And he said, is that because you're closer to God? I mean, I sat there and I said, you know what? I don't think I'm closer to God. I just think I want to give you an invitation if you want to pray. And this comes to one of the titles that we thought about that might have flown for this whole thing is Seeing Jesus in Unfamiliar Places. And I come to my final sort of thing. So I do a lot of memorials, but I try to make each one life and focus on that. I use different, you know, I have a template that I use, but I try to find out more about that person. Sometimes I'll know them quite well. And then other times I need to have the help of other staff and people to tell me more about them. Okay, there we are. This is last section, and the last section just simply is about the fact that if you read the scriptures, you're going to find out as you read the scriptures that God, the Creator, the Eternal, has a real bent towards widows, people who have the refugee, people who are on the bottom, as it were. And we have bought into, I think, a lot of the empire. When I say empire, I'm meaning those, some of those institutions and places which try to control us in all sorts of different ways. And I am aware that the empire actually wants us not to think a whole lot. So in my memorials, when I read them, I talk about the fact that every life is important. Even though that the empire would want to tell you that your life is more important if you've given more money to X, Y, or Z, or you have it more beautiful than somebody. The empire looks on the external, and the upside-down kingdom of God looks at what's happening inside, and in the hidden places, in the places we don't usually go to. So anyways, Wrapping up. That's the third time I've said that. The last one of Bud's poems that I want to read. And it's called, A Binner is a True Spiritual Guide. And Binner, as most of you I think are aware now in this day and age, is someone who goes to the bins and the back alleys and what we used to call dumpster dive. And so they would dive in and they would look through all everyone's garbage and they would take out what they found so they could sell it someplace else. So, a binner, approaching a bin, anticipates something valuable will be found among the discarded, rejected, trash, and useless objects of our society. A binner is not afraid to be seen in deep and intimate relationship with what others avoid, like the plague. A binner sees possibility where others see the need for a cleanup campaign. A binner is a true spiritual guide. So let their example impel the rest of us to go and do likewise. Friends, we have a mandate to go and do likewise. And I want to leave you with that. And I think I can tell you a little bit about what I think mine is at some point, perhaps. But I think we all have to discover. Where is it that we go and do likewise? And I think that whatever we do, it has to be authentic. That is where we find the Creator. We find the Creator in those things which are authentic. So why don't we all take a breath? Do I give this back to you now?
To the congregation.
Oh, to the congregation.